This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
As women, we have heard the consistent messaging around aging. Getting old sucks, so you better do it all now. But is that true? Today, we have an honest conversation about our own journey from our younger selves to the women we are today.
You're listening to Honest Women, the podcast for every woman who's trying to juggle the relationships, roles, and responsibilities that come with modern womanhood and finding it all just a little harder than she thought it would be. We're your hosts, Andrea Berkeley
and Jessica Hutchison, your new besties who just happen to be therapists. And while we believe that life is hard and there's no tip or trick that will solve that, it does get just a little bit easier when we can be real with each other and talk about it honestly.
You're listening to Honest Women.
Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning, Jessica.
How are you doing?
Pretty well. I'm doing pretty well. You and I have had kind of a funny morning. We don't always talk. I mean, just like any other pair of women in the modern age, we don't always talk on the phone. It's hard.
We text a lot.
Sometimes we trade voice memos, but every once in a while we're talking on the phone. And this week has been a very busy week for Honest Women. So we've been on the phone.
Good busy.
Are you teasing our audience?
I'm teasing our audience.
So we have some things coming that we're not mentioning right now.
We're not mentioning them right now.
Okay. Well, no. Stick around. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss what we're going to talk about
doing. It's going to be awesome.
And very soon.
Yeah,
honestly, we're talking about stuff that's coming up next week.
And because of that, we've talked on the phone a lot this week.
So much on the phone. I don't know if anybody else does this, but like sometimes, you know, when you're talking to your girlfriends and you're like, we are like kind of crossing boundaries about what is appropriate phone behavior. This morning, I took it an extra step.
Are you going to tell them? It was so funny. Please do.
Why not? Okay, so we were talking and talking and talking. We need to get to recording. I'm still not ready for the day, as is usual. I'm not good at managing time. And so I like needed to get the show on the road, but we were not in a place where we could just drop the conversation. So I had my earbuds in and I was like, I gotta take a shower. And I'm just going to like hop in the shower and just like not mention it. I'm just going to not say a word. I'm just going to shower and we're going to keep talking. And then, of course, like 1 minute in, I'm like, guess where I am right now? I'm in the shower. And Jessica, you were like, what is happening? It was definitely not consensual.
It was not consensual.
Right in the shower with me.
The best was when we ended the call and you were like, thanks for showering with me. And I'm like, oh my God.
That will likely be the only time that happens. I mean, not the phone thing, but definitely the showering thing.
That was hysterical. And I will say, I am very impressed with the sound quality of your shower and your earbuds.
Yes. Right?
Yeah. That was awesome.
Shower is also the place where I think that I'm like a really good singer. So watch out next time. I might sing you a little song.
I'll totally be along for that ride. I'll be like dancing on my end. Yeah. With all that being said, it's been a fun morning for us at the Honest Woman podcast.
It has.
Okay. So coincidentally, not only did we shower together, it'd be great if somebody entered the conversation right there, but Andrea and I both have birthdays together.
We do. We're just, 2 days apart?
I'm March 30th.
I'm March 28th.
Both fiery Aries.
That explains a lot, actually.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I'm curious what your experience was like having a birthday that falls usually during spring break and or on Easter. Has your birthday fallen on Easter yet?
I don't know. Maybe.
Mine has.
Sometimes. I'm sure it has at some point. The spring break birthday is kind of a bummer.
It sucks.
Yeah, because we're already doing something. And so it can be like, I know last year we were on a cruise with good friends. It's super cool. But it's not like we're on the cruise for my birthday. We were already doing that. And it's kind of like when you get cheated a little bit, they're like, okay, so for example, this year on my birthday, we're going to a concert that I'm super excited about, but it's not for my birthday. And I hate when it feels like your significant other or your kids can just check the box and be like, well, but we went to that concert. It's like, well, that wasn't for my birthday. Being acknowledged on my actual birthday is important to me.
I agree.
And we didn't do like big birthdays growing up. I mean, I know I had birthday parties, but it wasn't like a huge thing. And I have to tell you this story. Love you, Dad. I got to tell this story. So my funniest birthday moment of someone forgetting my birthday would be, it was a couple years ago, and my dad like for sure forgot my birthday. And I don't want to hold that against him because I'm terrible at birthdays. Like I don't know when anybody's birthday is. I'm about 50% on actually acknowledging birthdays. Same. Inside my family. Like my kids, of course, my husband, yes, but like extended family, no. But like I'm his kid. So I'm like, you have to acknowledge my birthday on my birthday. Well, a few days after my birthday, my dad leaves me a message and he's like, hey, Ann, it's Wednesday, March 28th, and we're celebrating your birthday. And they sing the birthday song. But I'm like, Dad, I got the receipt here. Like, it's Saturday. Like, I 100% know that it is not my birthday. It is many days after
You're like,
my
it
birthday.
It is not my birthday.
It is not my birthday. I definitely let that one. I was like, hey, Dad, nice try in the Jedi mind trick.
That is
trying to convince me it was a different day. Like, don't gaslight me. It's fine. Just say, like, I should have called you.
Own it, because you're making me feel crazy right now, and I really dislike it.
Thankfully, I was at a good spot in my own journey of life. Right? And with my dad, where I was like, oh, Dad.
I think one time my dad sent me a birthday card and didn't sign it. Like, nothing. Like, it was blank. I think, yeah, I was like, did you? Huh. You know, and that's when it's like, well, it's the thought that counts. And I'm like, but is it? What is it? What is some of the messaging you have heard throughout the years about aging?
I do think it's almost like the worst thing that a woman can do is age.
Right?
You know?
It's like the cardinal sin, don't age.
Right. Like, you certainly shouldn't look like you're aging. And I've had a sense that as a woman, it's not that you have an expiration date, but kind of. It's almost like you become invisible.
And this whole notion that you have to do it all while you're young.
Yes.
Okay. We want to use our birthdays as an opportunity to completely debunk these messages and give you a case why getting older is actually and can be pretty great. I want to tell you a quick story. I was talking to a woman who wants to have children and feels like the clock is racing. And she said to me, can you imagine having a child right now, like getting pregnant right now? And I first looked at her and I'm like, okay, you're kind of setting me up for failure with this, because the answer is no. However, it's not for the reasons you think it is. Mm-hmm. And I went on to talk about my body being in a much different place today at 41 years old than it was in my 20s and especially mm-hmm. in my 30s.
A couple different things, I think, here. One is how we look. And I just feel like in our 20s, first of all, I mean, to be fair, you are blessed with youth and bodies that have not been stretched and shaped and tortured a little bit by having children. I mean, think of the things that we could wear and, you know, what was appropriate and just, I don't know. I've always had a complicated relationship with my body, but like generally in my 20s, it was better than it is now. Like if you're just like saying technically speaking, right? But in my 20s, I had no sense of that. I had no sense of that. Like how nice it was to have a body that's a young body. How nice it is to have just the shape that you have before you go through so much life. And I spent so much of my 20s just feeling bad about my body, right? Like alternately completely abusing it, not sleeping enough, exercising, just like way too much cardio, and just like living off of alcohol and broccoli. Oh, yeah. And caffeine.
Broccoli?
Yeah, that was the diet, right? So we were always dieting in our 20s, and it was like run, 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 drink your calories at happy hour, and then eat like a salad and then drink like a gallon of coffee.
I feel like you might have fed your body a little bit better than I did in my 20s.
Mm.
I mean, good for you for the broccoli, girl. I'm pretty sure mine was all about like Domino's at 2 a.m. still.
I mean, it was both, wasn't it? It was like either restriction or like just absolute indulgence. That's what I feel like. The 20s was absolutely all over the place and how I treated my body for sure. And definitely like it was, I mean, I was like hotter in my 20s in a way, maybe not. But I didn't know it.
Yeah, I feel like I beat the hell out of my body in my 20s. And I think a lot of it was from that notion of do it all now. Like, mm-hmm. you will never be this person and you're young and you can do whatever you want. And I actually think that messaging I received caused me to treat my body horribly, because when you get older, you're not going to be able to. Nobody ever taught me in my 20s how this body of mine worked.
I would say I was pretty disconnected from my body in my 20s. Now that you mention it, like, I don't think we had not made peace with one another. I mean, no. My body was always with me, but I would push past my limits in so many ways, and I just didn't appreciate it. And also, like, that was the season of hormonal birth control, where I feel like we're very separated from our bodies in very like chemical ways, where I don't know. Again, I would do things differently if I went back.
I sure would too. Now fast forward to our 30s.
Oof. Oh, in my 30s, my body was not my own.
Yes.
Brutal.
You gave it up to grow these humans.
Mm-hmm.
Completely agree with that. My early 30s, my body belonged to somebody else.
Yes, it was so many years of that for me, because think, for every kid you have, you're growing a child. That's one whole, like, essentially a year. And then you have a child who you might be feeding from your body for some period of time. And then your hormones and everything else doesn't come back online for a couple of years. So every time you have a child, you just, I don't know, man, it's not yours.
Mm-mm. Now fast forward to your body today.
I just feel like in my 40s, and I will acknowledge that, yes, like now I have a body that's been through 4 pregnancies, 4 deliveries, that does not look like a teenage body, which is what I always thought that grown women were supposed to look like. But I appreciate my body in a way that I never have. And I'll tell you, a couple times in the last couple years, I've had very aware moments where I'm like wearing a 2-piece, and sometimes I feel like I have no business wearing a 2-piece, but I don't feel that way anymore. I'm just like walking down the beach. I'm like, fuck, I don't know. I've got sun on my skin, and I'm not thinking every second about what someone else is looking at. And I found like all the ways to dress myself that I feel comfortable and confident. And I know way better how to take care of my body. And it has become a non-negotiable. So I'm stronger than I've ever been. I'm healthier than I've ever been. And I'm nicer to me than I've been.
Yeah, I think I understand my body a lot more now than I ever did. I know what I put into my body, how it's going to make me feel. And I say that not that I restrict by any means. I actually enjoy. Like yesterday morning when I sent you a text message and said I just had 3 pieces of cold pizza for breakfast, right? And I enjoy those 3 pieces of cold pizza, but I have the awareness that in 2 hours, it probably, or an hour later, I probably wasn't going to feel good because it was going to jack my blood sugar. However, I used to feel bad about that, right? Mm-hmm. Like having pizza in the morning in my 30s, I would have maybe shamed myself a little bit more versus now I'm like, that was good. And I am enjoying every bite. And you know what? I know I'm going to feel a little sluggish in an hour, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's just a lot more integrated for sure.
Hey there, fabulous ladies. Ready to kick mealtime chaos to the curb? Say hello to your best friend, Factor Meals. No more scrambling for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Just grab a gourmet dish from the fridge and bam, you're good to go. And let's not forget about the smoothies. My son can't get enough. They're not just healthy, they're a taste sensation. You'll fall head over heels for Factor Meals, just like I did. With Factor, you can rock your busy schedule without sacrificing flavor or nutrition. Whether you want 6 meals or 18 meals a week, it's all up to you. Plus, you can hit the pause button or mix up your deliveries whenever life throws you a curveball. Say goodbye to mealtime madness and hello to hassle-free eating with Factor Meals. Head to factormeals.com/Jessica50 and use code Jessica50 to get 50% off. That's code Jessica50 at factormeals.com/Jessica50 to get 50% off. Okay, moving on to the next topic, relationships.
Mm.
Andrea and I, we both got married in our 20s.
Yeah.
However, you were a little younger than I was.
I was.
So does that mean you got to skip the whole awkward dating phase with random stranger?
I did skip the 20s dating phase and also the college dating phase. Honestly, I did my dating when I was younger and I pretty much have been with my husband since I was 18 for the most part.
Wow.
I know. It's weird. That doesn't mean I wasn't aware, as one is in your 20s, of male attention.
Of course.
You're still like a peacock, just, you know.
All you're like, I think I'm going to choose you as my mate, but I might show these other gentlemen my feathers.
I mean, I just was aware if they were noticing my feathers. But no, I did skip the awkward dating phase.
You want to hear a funny awkward dating story?
I sure do.
Okay. So when I was in the corporate world and working in downtown Chicago, there was like an area downtown that everybody would go for happy hour, and it was the financial district.
Mm.
I was in my business suit. All the men would be in their business suits. It, you know, it made you feel cooler and classier than we all actually were.
Mm-hmm.
I meet a gentleman who wants to take me out to dinner that night. Sure. Great. Why not? Went to dinner. Bill comes. The dude took out a pile of credit cards. Like not two or three, like a pile, and fanned them out to the waitress and said, pick one. We'll see if it works. I kid you not.
No, that was a bad date.
It was a real bad. And it did not go through. He tried another one. It did not go through.
No.
And I just said, just stop. I got it.
Oh.
So not only did that happen, then I ended up paying for it. And here's another good part. So we're leaving. I couldn't get out of there quick enough because I'm like, okay, clearly this is a red flag that this dude's got a lot of debt.
Right.
And he goes, you want to come back to my place?
Yeah.
No. In what world would I want to come back to your place? Come on.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that was just a little piece of dating in my early 20s. It was because I met my husband in my mid 20s, but early. And I think dating for me was a lot more fear based.
Yeah.
I'm really scared I'm not going to meet my person and I'm going to be alone forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that is the key in your 20s. It just is that sense of like, am I going to find my person? Which is hilarious, as you and I have talked about before, because that is not the whole Mm-mm. job that you have. That's just like where it starts. So I definitely feel like in my 20s, I probably thought like, I've done my job. Like I found my man. And that was like just the beginning.
And go back to our episode on Happily Ever After. And we really talk about this. We think the end game is marriage. Oh, no. That is the start. Fast forward to my 30s. And there was a comedian we were watching the other night that summed it up perfectly. And he said that every like 6 to 8 weeks, he kind of looks next to him and he's like, fuck, what did I do? Did I make the right choice?
Oh.
And my husband and I were laughing hysterically because we can normalize. And that is something in my 30s that happened a lot where I was like, what am I doing? Did I make the wrong decision?
Yeah, the shine comes off in your 30s. Because a lot of times if you're going to have kids, you've started having kids and life gets so much harder. You know, you do start to realize like, wait, what? I thought that I found the one and then we were just happily ever after. And then it's not.
No.
And the amount of stress and work that you have is so much higher. In fact, we just did an episode on the mental load. And it just, there's just a lot of weight on that relationship, a lot of tension. And I think our 30s is when we realize that like, oh, like this is not what I thought it was. Just generally being married.
Exactly. And it was very much, should it be this hard?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's so hard because I made the wrong choice.
Right.
And this isn't the right person.
Right.
It was a lot of questioning decisions I had made in my 30s versus today, starting my 40s. I would say there's a lot more appreciation or acceptance of what is normal and a hell of a lot less resentment.
Yes. 30s had a lot of resentment. And I would say even, this is where as couples therapists, we see you know, this is when the cycle really starts to take over between two partners. And so that sense of kind of an escalating distance between you, or fights that happen more frequently and are more intense, I think that really peaks in the 30s. And then if you're like us, if you're lucky, you end up in good couples counseling and you figure some shit out. But I know my 30s, there were some points that just felt really desperate because they feel existential.
Oh yeah.
To your marriage. I think in my 30s, I was really mourning the idea that we would never feel like in love the way that we did in our 20s.
Ooh, that's a good point.
That was really, really hard for me to deal with and to wrap my head around. And it almost got me thinking, like, is long-term marriage a thing? Like, how do people do this?
How do people do this? How am I going to do this?
Even a little bit of like, am I made for this?
Oh, yeah.
And so there was a real focus in the 30s on that feeling. While there was so much pressure, while there was so much weight on the marriage, while there was building resentment and just a lot of stress. But now, like you said, in my 40s, partly because we've done so much work, but partly I think because as you age, if you've worked some of that stuff through, I do have appreciation for things I would not have had appreciation for at all when I was younger.
You can see those things a lot more when you're not focused on all the things you dislike.
Yes.
And I think in your 30s, you're exhausted, you're tired, you gave up your body multiple mm-hmm. times to other human beings, and you start to look at things from a lens of, I want this. Why don't I have this? Why isn't mm-hmm. this person giving me this? And then it transitions more into what you do have or what yeah. that person does provide you with. There's more of the benefit of the doubt, I feel like.
I think so too. I think we mellow a little bit. And I think if we've been growing individually too, we might be at a point where we're better able to do that, to just give a most generous interpretation, to remember who that person is instead of just how you feel in that moment. I also think that there's a really natural setup when you start having kids where women do take on so much more of the responsibility. I mean, in just growing the children, you have years of your life that you've given away. So the imbalance is there. And we all know that it needs to probably be better than it naturally is, but there's also just some things that can't be fixed. And as your kids grow, you can take more effective steps to partnering better. And so I think there's more opportunity for you to get it right in your 40s.
The focus switches from how somebody else is getting it wrong to how can I or we get it right. Another one I want to touch on. Careers, which is a big one for women.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for me, in my 20s, I started out in the corporate world, looked a lot different than I thought it was going to look. But mm-hmm. I will say I was a hell of a lot more entitled. And by that, I don't mean from a everything was handed to me entitled. It was more, I thought you just find the perfect job right out of college and then the rest was going to be like laid out for you.
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize how many stepping stones there are, nor did I even realize there were stepping stones, which then limited and impacted my ability to make mistakes or fail and
yes.
not feel stuck.
Yes, for sure. I definitely, in my 20s, I envisioned my career like you did, as you pick something in college and then it is a straight path and you just stay there longer and longer and longer and you grow and grow and grow and you get more and more stuff for what you do and then that's it. And my 20s saw a number of career changes, which I think at that time I would have felt like were failures.
Absolutely agree. I did think I was a failure.
100%. And then my 30s was trying to sort out. So this was when I had my stint as a stay-at-home mom. And the 30s was all about sorting out, like, what of these career options are the ones that I choose and what are the ones that society is handing to me? That did not go well for me. And a lot of the wrestling in my 30s, at least my early 30s, was about, isn't every woman supposed to want to stay home with her kids? Isn't every woman supposed to be good at this? And what kind of a mother am I? So there was a lot more of those questions as I was like, I don't want to be home doing this.
Mm-mm. I think I looked at my career in my 20s and then my roles in my 30s. I was very immature about how I saw those. I thought they were going to be easier.
Yeah.
I really downplayed the work and the perseverance and the dedication and the consistency that went into being successful in those roles. That's what really set me up for failure, was unrealistic expectations. Versus now in my 40s, I have a lot of dreams and aspirations, both as a mom and as a businesswoman. However, I also know that those take a lot more time, and slow and steady wins the race. And there's more acceptance for me in that.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I'm a lot more aware of how many starts and stops and left turns and failures and then just really difficult seasons are part of this thing we call a career. And like you said, I think I have been disavowed of the idea that when I find the right career, it's going to be easy, because it's not.
No.
And my 40s has let me know too that I cannot have it all. And so I know. I mean, I can at great cost to me, or I can if I have a lot of help, but I definitely don't feel like I need to do this all alone. Whereas in my 20s and 30s, I think I was like, oh yeah, I can do it all. Now I'm like,
yeah, like being able to do it on your own was a testament to strength and independence and worth. And now it's more like, well, that was stupid, because nobody should do it all on their own. And also, you can set goals for yourself and you can change the timelines if you see that they're not realistic, or that maybe you want to spend more time at home with your kids at a certain age, and you can shift things. I can maneuver a lot better than I used to in my 20s and 30s. Okay, the last thing I want to talk about is just who we are as women today versus when we were younger.
In my 20s, I totally thought I knew who I was.
And
also I thought, and this is a funny bind, I thought that I was right about everything. I know this will shock you, Jess. I thought that I was
like
right about
super surprised.
This is something she like literally just cannot react to. This is what we call a setup. Like there's just, there's no winning here. But I thought I was right, and I desperately needed to be right. I needed to be right about everything, because that was part of how I felt safe in the world. I needed to be just in control and absolutely without failure. And my 30s, I feel like, was a real refining time. My 30s was when I feel like the wheels fell off in every which way. Everything about how my life went and who I am was challenged, threatened, broken down, but it started to be built back up again. And I feel like, I don't know, this process of aging kind of feels like rounding the edges off a little bit.
I like that. It's not as edgy.
Yeah. And that's a painful process. Don't get me wrong. But I appreciate the person that I am now in lots of ways. And I know that all the stuff that I went through in my 20s and especially in my 30s has brought me to the place where I have something to offer that I just wouldn't have if I didn't go through everything that I went through in those younger years.
I would say my 20s are defined by I had no fear while also being absolutely terrified. And there are ways, you know, I moved to Chicago. I knew one person. I studied abroad and I traveled on my own to different countries. There was a fearlessness, an untouchable fearlessness, while also being so afraid that I would never have this life that I wanted or I envisioned. And that being caught between those two was really a difficult time period. Then I transitioned to my 30s, and I think I thought it would just be different. Okay, I got through the discomfort of this being scared, not being scared, being scared phase of my life. Okay, now it's going to be really good and it's going to be easy, and I'm going to have this happily ever after life. And then it wasn't easy. And I found myself trying to prove myself in a different way. Instead of trying to prove myself as a woman in my 20s, now I was trying to prove myself as a mom and a wife. And it was the same hustle. It was attached to something different. And it was exhausting. Now, today, 41 years old, I'm like digging my 40s so far. And I do realize I'm not that far into it, but I feel a lot more bold and a lot less tolerant of bullshit, which comes from self-confidence.
Yeah.
I find myself asking for what I want, whether that is help, whether that is support, whether that is a friend to go get coffee with, and advocating in a way that I never used to. And I think the most important thing that I've learned when I was thinking about it is how to celebrate where I am. And I don't think I was good at that. No, it's not that I don't think. I really wasn't. And now it's like, no. I'm going to sit and celebrate knowing that I'm in the direction. I'm moving in the direction I want to go. It's okay to just be okay right now.
I value myself a lot more in my 40s than I did in my 20s and 30s.
As we blow out the candles and wrap up this special birthday episode, we want to thank you for joining us on this journey of self-discovery as we reflected on the experiences that have shaped us, the lessons we've learned, and how we've grown over the years. And hey, do us a favor, have a slice of cake in our honor. Cheers. Thanks for joining us today on the Honest Women Podcast. If you loved what you heard, be sure to subscribe or follow us on your favorite podcast app. That way, you'll never miss out on our honest conversation. We're all about spreading the love, so why not share the podcast with the amazing women in your life? You know, the ones who would appreciate knowing they are not alone. For more behind-the-scenes fun and updates, follow us on Instagram at Honest Women Podcast. We'd love to connect with you there. Got something to say? We are all ears. Drop us a line at hello@honestwomenpodcast.com or visit our website at www.honestwomenpodcast.com. Your feedback means the world to us.